It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I might be in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey in New York City. New York City, what the heck is that? Hickey Sicky, there's too many Ickies. Hickey, what's wrong with you, man?
Damn, destroy the name.
I know, right? New York Hickey Sicky. Hey, t-shirt idea for you, Hickey, right? New York Hickey? No.
Okay, look, I don't know who would buy it, but sure.
If friends, family, I'd buy one.
Okay, so I'll buy 5 t-shirts. I'll sell them to you at a good cost.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you to Chris holding it down as well on the boards. And we've been hanging out for 2 hours. 2 hours down, 2 more to go. There's so much to do, so much that we've done. We got Thursday Night Football coming up about 15 minutes. We got the Baltimore Ravens. We got the Bengals. Ravens trying to compete for a Super Bowl. Bengals just trying to turn things around and get to the postseason. How about that? We talked about Billy Napier. At least he's turned things around. From Florida Gators. It's pretty nice. We've already had a guest who came through. A thank you to Derek Bodner from PHLY Sports to talk about these Philadelphia 76ers. How about this? In about 20 minutes, we'll have a chat. Speaking of Billy Napier, Cole Thompson, SEC Unfiltered. He's going to come through and join us. Talk about Billy in the SEC. We got some big old games coming up in the SEC this weekend. So Cole will come through and join us in about 20 minutes from now. If you've missed a minute of the show, go ahead, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you to everybody listening live on our local Infinity Sport Network affiliates. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker. Talk to the machine. Say, hey, play the Infinity Sports Network. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. You want to call up, you can do that too. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I'm waiting on this game, man. AFC North matchup. Cincinnati Bengals. Baltimore Ravens. They had one of the best games a couple of Sundays ago, week 5 of the NFL season. Ravens came back to beat Cincinnati 41-38. They went back and forth so damn much, I couldn't even remember what happened. I'm like, whoa, this is a lot. Do I think we're going to get that today, tonight? I'm not so sure. What I do know is that the Baltimore Ravens, they've added Tre'Davious White. I don't know how many snaps he's going to play tonight, but I do know that they give up a crap ton of passing yards. And the Baltimore Ravens, guess what? They have the number one defense against the run in the entire NFL. And the Bengals, well, let's just say they're one of the worst rushing teams in the NFL. Joe Burrow is out here working overtime. He has 20 touchdowns this year. He's completing 70% of his passes. I told you these Bengals have a record of 4-5. Man, they've won 3 out of the last 4. They're always trying to just turn the tide, turn things around. They're taking the Philadelphia 76ers approach to football. Yeah, let's stink early and try to win late. We've seen them turn things around, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do so this season. Bengals have won 3 of 4, but let me tell you this. They are 0-4 versus teams that have winning records. Yeah, don't try to bank on them too much. Would anybody be shocked if the Bengals got in as a wild card? I think not. But there's just too much that's just unpredictable. It's Joe Burrow. If they had an average quarterback back there, the Cincinnati Bengals would be playing for nothing. They'd be playing for a number one pick because they would be worse than what they already are. Really looking forward to this matchup. AFC North teams always like to punch each other in the mouth. And Joe Burrow, well, I'm not going to say he echoes my sentiments because I said they suck. He says we got to get
Yeah, look, we played great on Sunday. But I'm not going to ignore when there's things that I feel like we could have done better. You know, maybe I could have not let my emotions show quite as much, but it's also something that I've tried to do more, and I know people in the locker room have wanted me to do a little more, whether good or bad.
Yeah, whatever. Y'all need better players. How about that? Is that good enough? They just beat the Raiders 41-24. Joe Burrow needs to do nothing. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL over the past several years. The only thing that can slow Joe Burrow down are injuries, like last year to his damn hand, or the year before that when he blew out his knee. Like, there's typically always something with Joe Burrow. Maybe if they were able to protect the guy a little bit more, he wouldn't be running for his life. Good luck. Reigning NFL MVP. Damn it, Lamar Jackson might get a third the way that he's performing and playing right now. Almost a perfect passer rating this past Sunday as the Ravens knocked off Denver 41-10. He only threw 19 passes and had 3 touchdowns. Quite efficient for a guy a few years ago. People said, he's no quarterback. He can't play a quarterback. Lamar Jackson said, of course I'm doing well. You want to know why? Because the game is becoming so much more easy for me.
Me just watching film, seeing a lot of blitzes and seeing different schemes of how team holding blitzes and trying to disguise stuff for me. So me just studying studying the bad plays, you know, as well. Me just studying and just memorizing everything what I'm seeing is helping. It's helping the process of the game for me. Just everything just slowing down.
Oh, come on now. This is the type of stuff. This is what his head coach, John Harbaugh, had told us in the offseason, that he takes a look at Lamar Jackson and he believes that Lamar Jackson is on his way, that they are trying to build this man up to be the greatest quarterback ever. I mean, well, damn it, 3 MVPs? If he gets another one, he needs a Super Bowl. I don't know. Different ways to skin a cat. Do I think Lamar is going to walk around with 4 and 5, 6 Super Bowls? I think not. But if you're a Swiss Army knife at quarterback, if you are the best rushing quarterback ever, and you could be one of the most efficient passing quarterbacks ever, which he has been, how could you argue? I want to see it for a few more years. I got to see if his body is going to last. And we know his body. Well, damn it, last week they were talking about his back, his knee. He didn't practice. I feel like there's an annual issue in training camp where he has to take off because he has a cold. I don't know. There's seemingly always a little something wrong with Lamar, but then he balls out. And so Coach Harbaugh, he's like, man, we just played on Sunday. We got to play again on Thursday. These guys are tired, and so am I.
That's a two-edged sword, too, because they have a lot of familiarity with us. So every game's different. You know, every game's unique. You just kind of take it as it comes, attack the circumstances as they present themselves, and that's what we'll try to do and do our best.
Man, Hickey, even thinking about an NFL coach preparing on a short week, you got to get ready for the game on Sunday. You got to coach that game on Sunday. You then immediately have to shift and then move towards a game on Thursday. The coach is not getting knocked around. He's not playing. We talked about having coffee earlier on in the show. Like, these guys just must be caffeinated at every hour of the day, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like they barely sleep when it's a normal, you know, Monday through Sunday week. Now, when you're talking about a short week, I mean, do you think John Harbaugh slept more than, 4 hours total this week?
Oh, my God. Oh.
That sounds awful.
Oh. What is Dan Campbell, he said he drinks coffee black, right? Or am I making
yes.
that up?
No, I think you're right, but it's like 2 gallons worth.
2 gallons of coffee? Now, caffeine is like everything else. If you drink enough of it, your body is just like, all right, this is normal. So maybe he has to drink 2 gallons to feel something.
It's a lot of coffee.
Immune. A gallon of coffee?
He talked about it. Like, it was like, you know, his coffee order is like insanity. I'll pull up here. It was like, he was talking about, like, when he goes to Starbucks, I think it was like, it's a lot of coffee.
Sounds like Dan can't. And that would have surprised me. Maybe that's why he's always going for it on like fourth down. He probably uses the bathroom once a week.
He gets 2 venti coffees.
That's the biggest size, right?
With 2 shots of espresso in each.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Wait. 2 at a time?
2 at a time. Now, according to Google,
2 shots in each coffee?
Yes.
4 shots?
Of espresso, 40 ounces of coffee.
Bro.
And apparently, it's according to Google, It's 1,100 milligrams of coffee or caffeine, excuse me, which is equivalent to drinking 10 Red Bulls. Oh. That checks out.
At one
that
time?
That checks out.
I know this is a big dude, but 10 Red Bulls at one time?
Now, this might be, I think, maybe spread throughout the day.
Oh, my God.
But even still, I mean, if you're having this throughout the day, even spread it out over, call it 15 hours, that's so bad for you.
Hickey, I think I had No, I didn't. I took a 5-hour energy one time, right? Because I was driving. I was driving overnight. So I said, you know what? It's 3 in the morning. Let me have a 5-hour energy. I finished my 5-hour drive, right? Man, I was up all afternoon. I was like, you know what? I could take the 5-hour energy drink, drive my 5 hours, and then, you know, lay down and go to sleep. Nah, bro. There was no sleep. I felt like, Tom and Jerry, I don't know, pick a cartoon cat with eyes getting ready to pop out the thing's head and you see the veins. I feel like even if I wanted to close my eyes, I felt like my eyes were just bursting through the front of my face. No sleep, man. None at all.
Right, so one of the few companies that falsely advertise on the lower end, right? Usually they say, oh, 5-hour energy, and you get like 2 hours before you crash. Here it's like 5-hour energy. They're giving you 10 hours of energy before you crash. Jeez.
I think at the gas stations, I think they do sell 10-hour now. I think. Am I bugging or do they?
I don't know. I try to stay away from that stuff, so I've not looked.
Oh, my God.
But I wouldn't be. I mean, everything's getting bigger now, right? So why not?
If I decide to run a New York City, will my heart explode if I take a 5-hour energy drink and pour it into, like, an espresso shot?
Oh, my God. You're asking for a heart attack.
Well, I was going to say, will I have one? Probably, right? Oh, man.
I would say so. And then running 26 miles on top of that? Yeah.
I haven't had a five-hour. If I see a 5-hour, I'm like, no, I do not need that. Not at all. Yeah, God bless these NFL coaches. What a short turnaround. Sunday to Thursday. It's kind of crazy. I wonder if Lamar Jackson, I think he drinks coffee. I think he does. And Zach Taylor, he says, man, trying to stop this guy? Yeah, I needed coffee to try to figure it out.
They're doing a lot of really good things. He's playing with a lot of confidence. There's a lot of things that are double-edged sword when you're attacking him, whether you're pressuring. And he makes the extra guy miss, and now you got a whole world of problems because he's as unique as it gets in terms of his athletic skill set, but his ability to beat you with his arm creates a real challenge.
He didn't have no coffee. He didn't have none. He sounds miserable. I guess I'd be miserable, too, if I have to try to figure out how to stop Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens, we say this all the time. This is a squad that's trying to run to a Super Bowl. To finally get over the hump. Like, that's the expectation. The Bengals, here we are another season. They are just trying to get into the postseason and go on a run. They're 4-5. As I told you, they are 0-4 against teams with a winning record. And head coach Zach Taylor, he says, we still believe in ourselves. I'm glad they believe in each other because I don't.
I think we always have great hope. I think this team believes that whoever walks on the field against us, we have a tremendous opportunity to find a way to win. These divisional games, again, it's always stated when you play these games. We know them well. They know us well. It was a great game. The last time we played them, we came up short and excited for the opportunity to get another crack at them in third place.
Let me tell you, folks, hope does not win you football games. It doesn't. It's nice to see that the Cincinnati Bengals are inching towards 500. It is absolutely where they want to be before the end of the night. If they fall to 4-6, they might as well just kiss the season goodbye. I already think they're done. Good luck. Good luck. This is going to be a good one. I told you the last game that they played, 41-38. Just a back and forth. Let's see if the Ravens' pass defense can catch up with this rushing defense, which is number one in the league. I'm going to take the Ravens at home. I think the Ravens are going to help bury the Bengals. But wouldn't be shocked if the Bengals win because, hey, they got Joe Burrow. They got one of the best QBs in the game. They ain't going to run that damn ball. They're going to throw it around. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to continue chatting it up about some football. We're going to be joined by Cole Thompson of SEC Unfiltered. We heard earlier on in the show, we talked about it, Billy Napier not going anywhere, sticking around with the Florida Gators. We got some big SEC matchups coming up this weekend as well, so we'll have that chat with Cole Thompson. It'll be pretty damn fun having that conversation.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we got Thursday Night Football underway. We got the Bengals. We got the Ravens. We got more football coming our way tonight, tomorrow, or Saturday. We got college football. It's been a busy week. The first edition of the college football playoff rankings have dropped. We got some big SEC games coming up this weekend. We got Georgia Ole Miss. We got Alabama LSU. We found out a coach in the SEC today, coaching down in Gatorland. Looks like he's going to keep his job into the future. To talk all things college football, all things SEC, joining us right now is Cole Thompson from SEC Unfiltered. Hey, Cole, how are you?
JR, I am so glad to be on with you tonight. I'm so glad that Hickey was able to reach out to me. We got a lot to break down when it comes to college football playoff. There are elimination games this week, and more importantly, there is now a question of what is the best job left on the market when Billy Napier going to be back in 2024?
Well, let me ask you this, and we'll get into the college football playoff. Knowing that Billy Napier is going to be sticking around, what are your initial thoughts? Is it strictly because of the buyout? Is it NIL? Is it players sticking around? Why is he sticking around?
I think it's a lot of things, JR, for being honest. The first one is naturally the buyout. It's $26 million if they were to let him go after this year. The point of the matter is that revenue money could easily go towards NIL, toward the recruiting aspects, towards the transfer portal funds to allow players that are maybe a few pieces away from joining this roster and being able to build off of this upcoming season. The other point that I think a lot of analysts are kind of forgetting about at this moment is the schedule doesn't change next year at all. It is the exact same schedule. The only difference is, well, instead of going to Starkville and play Mississippi State, Mississippi State's coming to you. Instead of having Texas A&M come to the Swamp, you're going to Aggieland. So the expectations for a new coach to come on in is to be a much more stable, stoic version than what you saw with Billy Napier. But you're also going to have a roster turnaround because whenever a coach leaves, they bring in their own players, and players that were committed to the previous staff, they want to go elsewhere. So it's going to be the same results. If you keep Billy and results don't speak volume, then ipso facto, congratulations, you can move off of him with just cause. The third point is, was there a coach available to be able to kind of build off of what Billy is currently doing? Now, you and I both can agree that after the first two games, they start off 1-2 with losses to Texas A&M and Miami, where they looked awful. The writing was on the wall. He was probably going to be shown the door. But now we are seeing a version of Florida that has kind of rejolted since winning against Mississippi State. And I'm not saying that you take participation trophies and call a close loss to Georgia a good moral victory, but if you don't have somebody signed on the dotted line that can come on in and have the same type of atmosphere for that player locker room, then it really doesn't matter the results when you know that everything else is still going to be a year away from transitioning. The final thing is that, JR, they don't have a president right now. They're in an interim president situation to where Scott Strickland really would be making a call to, if the new president comes in and doesn't like the vibes of the current coach, not only is Strickland shown the door, but they're already paying one buyout to pay for another buyout just to be able to bring in somebody that the president feels comfortable with. The timing just felt off. The team is sitting at 4-4. The announcement I thought was very risky because of, depending on what the season looks like down the stretch, they're going to have to play a certain brand of football. But Billy may feel like the guy if he gets the right pieces in. The organization at this point has to say we are all in. Because you see people in the SEC stick out their chest and boast about we can afford whoever we want. Yeah. We can do this our certain way. And then when the push comes to shove and you say, all right, prove it, they take a couple zeros off of that checkbook and go, here you go, use this money to go bring in the right players. Well, you don't get told no a lot at Georgia. You don't get told no a lot at Alabama or Texas or LSU. And you're trying to get back to that level of being in that conversation. So boosters and NIL collectors have to realize if you're going all in with Billy, you're also got to go all in on the actual process of NIL collectives. Bring in the right players, bring in the right recruits, continue to build the foreground, and hopefully things turn the corner. But Billy is certainly on thin ice going into 2025.
Nicole Thompson is joining us here from SEC Unfiltered. You named some of the other, the big dogs. Well, specifically the Bulldogs. And we saw that they're not necessarily, you know, kind of just going through the season skating on by. Florida had a lead against them, and Carson Beck is throwing the ball to everybody except for his teammates. And so we see them. They're going to take on Ole Miss. People are looking at Lane Kiffin and going, here we go again, a guy who can never kind of get over the hump. What are your thoughts on both the Bulldogs and Ole Miss? We know kind of going in two different directions here.
So for Ole Miss, this is an elimination game, which makes them, for my money, the most dangerous two-loss team in the country. Because if they don't win, it doesn't matter what they do against Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl or Florida in 2 weeks after the bye. Their season's over, and they have been planning this out for almost a full year. JR, we remember what happened last year in Athens, Georgia, where it was 7-7 after the first quarter, and then Georgia said, okay, let's go to work, and the final score read 52-17, and Lane Kiffin went into the press room and said, we need to build our offensive and defensive lines. Our track has got to be better if we are going to win a conference championship. And so that was the point of emphasis throughout the offseason with NIL, with the transfer portal, Walter Nolan, Princely Uwin Manley Ellen, Chris Paul from Arkansas. These are players that not only were proven at their former schools, they were players proven at schools that already played against Georgia while in the SEC. So they put an emphasis on making sure that this game had been circled on the calendar. They were in a competitive nature. On the opposing sideline, Kirby Smart even said this past week, this may be our toughest test, and it's a major testament to what Ole Miss has done because they feel like the most balanced team in the SEC. And the numbers back that up. They're number one in scoring. They're top five in passing. They're top three in rushing. They're great on third down. And defensively, they win in two major areas. They're number two in the country in run defense, which is usually a bread and butter for Georgia on the ground game. And they're number six in red zone efficiency. They do not allow a lot of teams to score from within inside the 20. And if they do, it's usually a field goal. And this is a game that can easily be turned over. People are looking at the roster and saying, well, how can we trust that we're going to see anything different overnight? Because Ole Miss spent over $6 million in NIL collective to go out and add in the right players. If there was ever a breakout game that needed to occur for Carson Beck, this is the one. If you look back at his first 17 games, he had 31 touchdowns against 5 interceptions. His last 5 games, 10 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. This is one of those games where you need Carson Beck to wake on up. I'm not sure he can do so. This has been a game that I think Lane Kiffin has been preparing himself for. I actually like Ole Miss in this matchup. Wow. I think they're in the conversation for the college football playoff. We haven't seen a good rushing attack from Georgia, and the passing attack is too inconsistent. The one area you can beat Ole Miss is through the air. I don't think Carson Beck does it.
Oh, wow. Cole Thompson here from SEC Unfiltered. Well, obviously a win here would give Lane Kiffin a little bit of grace because we know he typically can't win the big one.
No, he definitely can. I think that also it does wonders for the conversation of putting them in the college football playoff hunt because right now they have 2 losses by a total of 6 points, including 1 in overtime on the road in Death Valley against an LSU squad that still is in the hunt for an SEC title and a conference championship and a playoff berth. So with a win against the number 2 team in the country or number 3 team in the college football playoff rankings, that would justify everything that we need to see about Ole Miss. They would win with style points. They would win with flair. They would win with the stats. They have a quarterback in a Category 5 Jackson Dartnado, as I like to call him, going on to the conversation about making it to the Big Apple for the Heisman Trophy as a dark horse. There's a reason to believe that with a win on Saturday in front of the home crowd, Lane Kiffin has not only secured himself another pay raise from Keith Carter and the athletics staff, he's put Ole Miss in a great position to at least make the college football playoff.
Well, Cole, you mentioned LSU. That's another big matchup we have. We know Alabama is going through its own transition now that Nick Saban is sitting around on TV. Kalen DeBoer is running the show. And it feels that LSU, things have been pretty quiet for Brian Kelly. I mean, he's not banging water bottles on tables. It seems things have been pretty quiet. What do you expect for these two teams that are battling out to 4th spot in the playoff?
Well, as Les Miles once said, it's Death Valley, a place where dreams truly come to die. The only exception to the rule has been Alabama. They have won every single night game in Death Valley under Nick Saban until last year in 2022, 2 years ago in 2022. Spoiler alert, it is a more Nick Saban. It's the Kalen DeBoer era. So do things change in that vicinity? Do things end up voting well in favor of Brian Kelly? And this really is a playoff elimination game. You're not getting in at 9-3 unless you have a bunch of other chaos occur throughout the Big Ten, throughout the ACC, throughout the Big 12. And even then, it would be very challenging for a team like LSU because of the head-to-head loss with Texas A&M. This is going to still be, I think, for my money, the old version of this matchup. Physicality in the trenches and who can fight for the last yard. That is what is going to make this game. Both of these teams have been stagnant at times when it comes to allowing teams to rush against them. Alabama's averaging around 130 yards allowed on the ground, but right now they don't really feel like LSU can run the football, which is kind of shocking, JR, when you look at them having one of the best offensive lines headlined by Will Campbell and Emory Jones, and them having talent at running back. Caden Duren showed you in that Arkansas game he can be an enforcer and a bell cow workhorse when given the opportunity. But on the flip side, you have the same thing with Alabama. Jalen Milroe, I talked to some people out in the Alabama country last week. They basically said he was playing on his last leg, crawling toward the bye week, going up against Mizzou. Nobody in college football needed a break more than Jalen Milroe. They have the passing attack, but they have a good ground game in Justice Haynes and Jam Miller. Can Nick Sheridan dial up schemes that allow them to live in third and short to open up the playbook by putting an emphasis on the ground game? Can they win between the trenches? Can they get up to the second level of the defense? Can they force LSU to have to make some adjustments? Because if so, Alabama still feels like it's Alabama. But we were told we have to judge Brian Kelly in year three. He mentioned that when he left South Bend, came down to Baton Rouge, decided to embrace his inner Foghorn Leghorn, and made it clear that we judge him in year three. We're going to judge him, and we're going to ponder, is he the right guy for the job? Because even though it is a new era of Alabama football, I think Jalen Milroe wants to guarantee him in the college football playoff one more time. I got Alabama winning this one by a touchdown.
Okay. Cole Thompson here with us from SEC Unfiltered. Final question for you. You mentioned some of the warts, and typically the warts that the quarterback has for the Georgia Bulldogs. Do you not see them as potentially being in the championship game? Is Carson Beck going to hold them back?
You know, it's a possibility, JR. What's really shocking, and don't say this too loud because there's going to be people out there that come for me in the comments section, there's a shot that Georgia misses the playoff altogether. Oh, they still have another game ahead against Tennessee, and the one thing about Tennessee this year is even though Nico Iamaleava has not lived up to his Heisman hype, Dylan Sampson has. He is the best running back in the SEC far and away. He's averaging 6.7 yards per play. And Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, needs to be a front runner for not just the Broyles Award, but also any G5 job that is made available this offseason. They are playing ferocious. They're doing a great job eliminating explosive plays by wide receivers. And this will be another game where they're going to have to trust Carson Beck to have to win through the air. They have got to at least walk away with a victory either against the Volunteers at home or on the road against Ole Miss to guarantee a 10-2 season, let alone making it to the SEC championship game. Sometimes it's okay to actually miss the championship, though. I think a Georgia team that feels like it's confident and can find a way to host a playoff game as the 8 seed or the 9 seed, it might end up being beneficial rather than getting an injury occurring in Atlanta, and then they get the first round bye or they get the 5 seed, and then we talk about them potentially losing to, like, a Boise State at home because of inconsistencies. I think that, honestly, they would much rather maybe miss that chance as long as they're guaranteed in the dozen dance.
Damn, Cole Thompson coming through with the nightmare fuel for all my folks here in Georgia. Man, we'll see what happens. I'm confident. I don't like Carson Beck, but I got a little bit more confidence in him than you do, Cole. I'm trying.
I believe that they're going to the playoffs. Don't take that at all. They're going to find a way to make it. I still believe that the pathway through the SEC championship resides in Athens, Georgia, because you got the coach and you got the personnel.
Well, good deal. Well, listen, I agree with you there. They'll go all the way to disappoint. That's the Bulldog way, and we'll see what happens. Hey, Cole, where can people follow you and all of your work with SEC Unfiltered?
Yeah, if you want to check me out, it's at Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter. We do live instant reaction shows after every major game on Saturdays. We do a live post-game show on Mondays. We do live reactions to the SEC and the college football playoff rankings. So go follow us on YouTube at SEC Unfiltered. Follow us at SEC Unfiltered on social media. And you can check out all of my great work found at Mr. Cole Thompson on my own YouTube channel, at Mr. Cole Thompson.
Hey, Cole, thank you again for the time. Let's see what these games look like over the weekend. We'll catch you down the line.
Can't wait to talk to you again, JR. Take care.
All the time. That Cole Thompson of SEC Unfiltered. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, if he was here in Georgia, he'd have got booed. They would have booed Cole for what he just said about Carson Beck. I found it comical. Every time I saw something about this guy being in the Heisman conversation, I was just like, him? Why do all these Georgia quarterbacks, they get hyped up? Oh, man. I don't get the hype. Hype is just, look at the horizons. Look at the NFL. Look at the guys running around playing QB. Where the hell do these guys fit in? Stetson Bennett, what the hell is he doing right now? Knocking on doors. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, and speaking of getting booed, there's a lot of people who got booed in the sports world last night. It's Steve Kerr got booed, Paul George got booed. And speaking of here in Atlanta, I'm going to tell you about somebody. And he ain't getting booed. He is loved.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Yeah, I did get my umbrella back. If you know the story, yeah, I got my umbrella back. That's like one thing you never let somebody borrow because you're never going to see it. Umbrella or something else. Money. No money. You'll never see it back. Hickey, am I missing anything? Don't lend it out.
I guess like maybe like shorts or a shirt. Like if you lend a piece of clothing, like you'll rarely get that back.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, I'm going to say something. You ready for this?
Oh,
you ready for this? Don't give your partner a T-shirt, okay? You never see it again, Hickey, ever.
I feel like the same could be applied for a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything, you're right. Clothing, it's a goner.
If you got a girlfriend, don't give her your shirt, okay? Don't let it wait. Don't give her none of your clothes. None of it. You'll never see it again. Ever. Ever.
You're just bringing people together tonight.
Who, me?
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm sure there's going to be one smart listener who's going to say, sorry, honey, JR told me not to give this to you.
Oh,
it's going to start a big fight.
Go to Walmart. There's one everywhere, right?
There is.
Do you think how far in America can you go without a Walmart? There's a Walmart an hour drive away from every human in America, you think?
I mean, I'm going to look it up right now because I will say, I don't know about New York City. Or I think there's not many Walmarts around.
From where you are, there's a Walmart in Long Island, right? No?
Let's see. Oh, there's one in... Oh, wow. I lied. Oh, was a corporate office. Yeah, that's 1.3 miles away. There's one, actually, I guess, on Fifth Avenue in the city, so I lied.
Get out of here.
2.6 miles away?
No. There's not a Walmart in Manhattan. No.
That's what it says. I'm looking it up right now.
No, it can't be. No.
See, Fifth Avenue, which is, you know, for those who know New York City, a very rich avenue, which makes sense for Walmart to be there.
No, New York City has fought a Walmart forever.
Are you sure about that? I'm looking at it.
Ah, it's a store?
That's what it looks like to me.
It's on 34th Street? Where is it?
605 Fifth Avenue. It's on Fifth Avenue between 49th and 48th Street.
Oh, my God. No.
Right by St. Patrick's Cathedral and the Rockefeller Center Plaza.
It's an office. It can't. No. No, no, no. Impossible. No.
Well, okay. Maybe we're looking at a super center here. Maybe that's what we need to go to. There's a super center 5 miles away from me.
Okay. Yeah. Valley Stream.
Yeah, that probably. Okay. So you're right. It was an office because everything else says super center. So that's on me.
I think if there was a Walmart in New York, I'd know. they've been fighting Walmart forever.
I didn't know there's a big fight. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, you want to have, I don't want to say mom and pops, not that Manhattan is built on mom and pops, but could you imagine if they just slapped a Walmart in the middle of Manhattan? Like everybody else, all those stores in Midtown are going out of business. The ones that already did, like, I don't know, Bed Bath & Beyond. Is Home Depot still over there?
I don't know in that area, but I'm sure there's a Home Depot around somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. That would just suck up all the business.
Yeah, let's put a Walmart smack dab in the middle of it. Everybody is just going out of business. Yeah, Walmart is everywhere. Yeah, if you want a T-shirt, don't give it to your partner. Just tell her to go to Walmart. How about that? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I know where you can go. You can go get a Hyundai, okay? This portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. Man, enjoyable. Nothing enjoyable about being booed unless you do like that type of thing. Some people like that. They want to be motivated. They want to be booed. They want to be jeered. They want some negativity. They feed off of the energy, especially in sports. Last night, we talked about it while we were here on the air. Thank God that the man woke up at the end of the game. His name is Jason Tatum. Well, he fell asleep at the end of the game. He missed a big play, allowing somebody to score. The Warriors won 118 over the Celtics 112. Steve Kerr was in Boston. And what the hell does anybody care for? Well, Steve Kerr obviously coached Jason Tatum in the Olympics, and he told him to have a seat. I was expecting like 45, 50 points. It did not happen. Jason Tatum in a loss, 32 points, 10 of 20 from the field, 5 of 10 from downtown. There was no Brown. He was out with a hip injury. And then Steve Kerr, he got booed. The fans booed him. And he appropriately, he decided, he waved. He waved back to the fans. How sweet of him. Steve Kerr, after the game, after the boos, after the win, Steve Kerr was asked, do you regret benching Jason Tatum? You better give us an answer, Steve.
I mean, that's this job. You know, from the beginning in Vegas, the whole thing was, hey, we're in this together. We got 12 Hall of Famers, and we're just committed to winning, and we won the gold medal. So I don't give it a whole lot of thought other than, yeah, I didn't enjoy, not playing Jason against Serbia, not playing Joel against South Sudan. Those are not fun decisions, but our guys were all amazing. They committed to each other. They committed to winning the gold medal. They brought the gold home for their country. They all handled themselves with incredible dignity and class, and that's the real story.
Oh, okay. The short answer is, well, the long answer is all that nonsense he just said. The short answer is no. I don't regret not playing Jason. We won. What the hell is there for me to regret? It's not like we went out there and lost. And if he did lose, they would have whooped his ass in the court of public opinion. Steve Kerr, what a bum, what a loser. How do you lose with this team? And they won. There's nothing to regret. And Steve Kerr, he does not care. Good for him. Golden State Warriors, pretty damn good this season, too. Happy. One of the league best records, 7-1. Steph Curry finished last night with 27 points. And Buddy Hield is like, hey, I'll help you. You're 16. Man, good stuff. Also getting booed last night, Paul George returning to Los Angeles with the Sixers. They lost 110-98. Paul George, 18 points. We know he just signed a 4-year deal with these Sixers. And Paul George said, my hometown fans, I just left the Clippers. Why the hell they booing me? I wanted to stay.
Yeah, it's stupid. I was a free agent. You know what I mean? I was a free agent. It wasn't something that I, you know, demanded a trade or, you know, went against the team here. Like, I was a free agent. The team presented something that was team friendly. And I did what was best for me in that situation. There was the cheers. I appreciate them. Those were the ones that I played hard for. The boos, I didn't get it. I still don't get it when I go to Indy. But it is what it is. It's sports. You know, that's what's in sports.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm a free agent. I didn't want to leave. I left. You know, they didn't offer me the deal, so I bounced. The hell would you want to stick around out there anyway? Come on. I get it. It's home for him, even though he's from the desert. Still close to home. Is Kawhi Leonard going to play this year? He's taking a vacation because his knees don't work.
Yeah, he might be on the beach for a while. Can't say I blame him.
Permanent vacation. Man, there's some dumbass. I guess when you got that much money, who cares, man? Give some away to charity, like me, please. I wish, Hickey, you got Steve Ballmer's number?
I wish. I'd hit him up in a second.
Okay. Let's find out where he lives. Might be a solution. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to give you an update on Thursday Night Football when we come back on the other side of the break. Also, so many things have gone on. We'll give you an update on everything. JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.